Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, church, we have been in a series over the last couple of weeks called The Power of a Grateful Life. And I know that right through it out, through our life groups and so on, people have been letting me know just about what this whole series and how it's been a blessing to them. And so I pray that it's been an encouragement to you. I pray that it's filled you with gratitude and thankfulness. And I hope it started to, cause you to grow in the purposes of God as we've looked at this incredible area of thankfulness. And so today we're going to continue with, of course, our series. And today I'm going to be preaching a message called Gratitude is a Weapon. And so if you have your Bibles, could you please turn with me? I got a good sermon today. This is a newbie. I wrote this week. Gratitude is a Weapon. Turn with me. We're going to look at two passages today. Firstly, we're going to go to the New Testament, then to the Old Testament. So let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 21, verse 15. Nice shirt, Shane Martin. Looks awesome. Matthew 21, verse 15. And then once we've read a couple of verses there, we will go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Matthew 21, verse 15. When you have it, can I have a good amen? It says, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did. How many of you know that God does wonderful things? It says, and the children, now watch this, look at who was crying out. It says, the children crying out in the temple, all of those involved in kids' ministry said, oh, there's a few around. They're probably down there and upstairs. And by the way, we don't have kids workers in our church. We have kids leaders. And it says, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, look at what they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. So we have the children declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. It says, talking about the scribes, it says they were indignant. The word indignant simply means furious. They're very upset. Goes on to say in verse 16, and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? So, in other words, he's insulting them because they knew the Torah like nobody else through memorization. And he says, you should know this. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? Look at what it says. You have perfected praise. So good. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. These days it's easy to find those Old Testament books. Back in the day, you had to go to your contents, find out the page number, then go there, and the preacher took about 5 minutes before we quoted the verse. But we can do it much quicker these days. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, we're picking up story of King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah being invaded by an opposing army. It says it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon, so we have a combined forces, says, and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Says, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude. Now watch this. Not just an army. It says a what, church? A great multitude. So this is huge. It says a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon of Tamar, which is En Gedi, verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to, look at what he does, to seek the Lord. All the prayer said, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Says in verse 4, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 20, we see or we've read a story about an invasion. We're looking at a story where the tribe or the people of Judah are in a terrible dilemma. We're looking at a story of a surprise attack. This was not a notice that was given to let the people of Judah know that an opposing force was coming. This came from left field. It was sudden, and it caught the people of Judah and King Jehoshaphat unaware of what was about to go down. This is a formidable alliance. We're talking about three nations that have come together, the tribe of Moab or the people of Moab, the Ammonites, and the Bible says the others. Later we learn that the others were in fact the Edomites, and we'll talk more about those tribes a little bit later on, but it's good to write their names down. And the scriptures tell us that these three powerful empires have joined forces to come against the people of God. Now, these three tribes, they have one goal, and that is to destroy the people of Judah. Now, many of you know, of course, that the name Judah means what? It means praise. So three opposing forces, a triple threat, a combined force has come to destroy praise, okay? Are you with me this morning? One Bible commentator said, it came upon them like a clap of thunder in a clear sky. Now, Jehoshaphat, he's in fear. This is the report that came to him, we said it earlier, said that it was a great multitude, not just the multitude, this was a great multitude. The odds are against them, three against one. They might be good fighters, but three against one is kind of difficult. Now watch Jehoshaphat's response in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Look at what he says, for we have what? No power. So he recognizes that they do not have, come on, they do not have the strength to stand against the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites, and the Termites, and the Mosquito Bites. Says we have no power, look at this, against this multitude. So he recognizes that they are outnumbered, they are outsized, and they are outmatched against this opposing force, this great multitude that is coming against us. Look at this. We do not, or nor do we know what to do. So they are vulnerable. They are in a position of weakness. And it goes on to say, but our eyes, here we go. Come on, church. Our eyes are upon you. As I reflect over the course of 2019 has been a great year, but also an interesting year. I would say that for me personally, 2019, the verse that I could probably relate to the most is where the Apostle Paul says, a great and effective door has opened for me, but, I don't like the but bit, there are many adversaries. It's as though the purposes and in the movement of the things of God, there's been giant steps for our church, giant steps for what God is doing in our nation and the way that the Lord is using our church to be a blessing and a strength and an encouragement in our nation is truly remarkable, and we give Him all the glory for it. But it seems as though in the middle of peace and forward momentum and growth and increase, it's almost as if there's been this triple threat that's gone on behind the scenes where from various angles the enemies tried to send the Moabites, the Ammonites and the Edomites to try and hinder the purposes of God and to shut down our praise. I find it interesting that this has come from left field. It wasn't something that was planned. It wasn't something that they expected. It was all of a sudden, and maybe for you this year, in the middle of God bringing about a great advancement. At the same time, there's been this parallel of tension where, according to the growth and the increase and the forward momentum in your life, there seems to be these other things that are spinning and going on behind the scenes, whether it's family or business or health or whatever it may be. And certain things have come from left field to shut down your praise. Now, I'm going to give you three things this morning, and we are going to break this today in Jesus' name, and we're going to speak about this. So, number one, stay with me. It says, here we go, behind every triple threat, there are spiritual causes. Every triple threat, there are spiritual causes. Now, I'm not saying to you today to count how many causes that have come against you. And if you count three, yeah, that's the devil. It's really just a figure of speech. You know what I'm talking about this morning. So let's just make that very clear. But what I do want you to recognize is that there are certain things, spiritual opponents that come against the people of God, that it's not just natural, it's not just the way that things worked out. There is a spiritual threat that tries to shut down our praise. Now, if you look at the three tribes, we said the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites. If you actually look at their background, you'll notice that the tribe or the people of Moab came about because Lot's eldest daughter had a crazy idea, and that was she believed that there would be no descendants for her father. And so one night, she decided to get her father completely, well, let's just call it for what it is, blind drunk, because he has no recollection of it. And she sleeps with him. She falls pregnant. And out of that, that's where the tribe of Moab came. And then later, she tells her younger sister to do the same thing. And that's where we get the tribe or the people of Ammon came out of this corruption, okay? And now the Edomites, who also came against the people of God, they are the descendants of Esau. What is Esau known for? Esau is known for someone who was flippant about the purposes of God. He had an inheritance that was supposed to be his, and he chose that, or chose a bowl of soup and some noodles, must have been good noodles, instead of actually choosing the inheritance that God actually had for him. So you have this corruption and this seed of corruption and a person who chooses momentary pleasure over the purposes of God. And so we live in a world where this corruption and momentary pleasure is trying to destroy and hinder the purposes of God. And so we need to recognize this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so sometimes in our lives, church, I'm not saying that we need to become a church or you need to become someone that says, here a demon, there a demon, everywhere a demon, demon. When you're going through the Macca's drive-thru and they forget your fries, you can't now blame the devil because your fries weren't in the bag. I'm not suggesting that because that's not the kind of church we are. Our eyes are upon Jesus. And people misquote the verse and they say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Our eyes are always upon Jesus. And if you look for the devil and if you look for demons around every corner, the Bible actually tells you something about that, and it says, seek and you will find. But our eyes are upon Jesus. However, this morning, church, we cannot deny that there is spiritual opposition. And there is a warfare that's going on in the spiritual realm that's actually trying to hinder and shut down your praise. So much of what we go through is not flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. We have to be able to perceive what is just natural and what is actually intimidation that's actually come from the camp of the enemy. And sometimes the controlling power behind these triple threats and these different angles, and it seems to be coming from the left and from the right and from behind and above. Sometimes we just have to ask ourselves the question, is this in fact Satan and his demonic forces? And we have to recognize this morning that as the people of God, we are in a spiritual battle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul teaches us that we are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. The word ignorant means to be unaware. We are not to be unaware that the triple threat, sometimes these angles, are in fact the work of the enemy. And Paul says, lest the devil take advantage of us. In fact, you will notice that out of all Paul's letters where he spoke most about Satan, it was to the Corinthian church. And the reason why is because if you look at the Corinthian church and the battles that they were facing, it wasn't just people who decided to do backflips and be upset at everyone. There were demonic forces that was trying to divide and hinder the purposes of God. And so we need to recognize what is natural and what is the enemy. So maybe the thing that's going on is in fact not a person. Maybe the circumstance and the hindrance to what God has called you to is not a person. Maybe in fact the Lord is turning the light on today and saying it is a demonic force that is trying to stop you from moving forward for you and your marriage, you and your family in the purposes of God. This happened to me recently. Last weekend, I needed to go to Adelaide, and God did some great things there. And I just had the sense I was going in the purposes of God. I'm not a gig preacher. I go because some are went and some are sent. I go because of the stirring of the Holy Spirit, not because it's an opportunity, okay? And so I knew I had to go. Then my flight was scheduled for about 2 p.m. on Saturday. At about 8 a.m., I start getting Twitter messages. Now, I am on Twitter. Those of you who don't know what Twitter is, it's another social media platform where a lot of journalists, news reporters, and so on. In fact, in America, it's probably the number one social media platform where people communicate and so on. But it also is the place where a lot of people who want to fight against the purposes of God seem to want to send me tweets, right? It's called a tweet. That's like a post, a message, okay? So when I say tweet, I'm not talking about a bird. I'm talking about a message, okay? So I start getting tweets. I start getting messages. And these people start threatening me. These people start threatening the purposes of God. Now, it's not uncommon to my @BradBonhome account because over the last 12 months with what has transpired in our nation, and when it starts, it comes like a barrage because they all tell their friends and their friends tell their friends, and all of a sudden, @BradBonhome is famous on Twitter with a barrage of attacks, right? And so it started to escalate and escalate and escalate, and there was one particular person who I've now blocked because he was affecting my spirit. He kept going, and the threat started to become more serious, and it's about midday, and I start to think to myself, I can't go on this trip. This is not right. But what happened was it started to produce within me a spirit of fear and intimidation. Now, I believe in being wise, but there's a difference between wisdom and intimidation. And God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? So it gets to about midday and I'm thinking, and I was about to call the pastor, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, do not do this. This is intimidation, as in make the phone call to the pastor. You are meant to do this. And this intimidation just lifted off my shoulders as I made that call that I will not allow the intimidation of the enemy to hinder what God is wanting to do, and recognizing what is the difference between just natural circumstances versus that which in fact is demonic and birth in a realm that's there to actually stop you and hinder you from moving forward in the purposes of God. And sometimes the enemy will even use people. Now, we love people and we will always care for people. But the enemy, in fact, can also use people, because when you look at Paul's writing to the Philippian church, he says, who has bewitched you from obeying the truth? Not what has bewitched you. He says, who has bewitched you from obeying the truth? Who, meaning a person. And so you need to recognize that sometimes the enemy can in fact use people to frustrate you and to hinder you. Now, I'm not saying all of a sudden you need to go and give those people the fivefold ministry, but you need to recognize and pray and declare the power of God and the breakthrough of God and the touch of God and the hand of God. Come on, I'm prophesying over people today and speaking to it in Jesus' name. Come on, you're getting something out of this morning. I'm enjoying myself. Now, once you recognize that it's in fact the enemy, it brings us to number two, and that is a spiritual battle then demands spiritual weapons. You can't take natural things into this battle. You must take spiritual, come on, church, spiritual weapons against demonic strategies. Come on, church. You can't take human plans. You can't even take your thought life. Because, you know, men particularly, when we're going through a struggle, we like to think it through. Driving the car, think. Come on, men. And you resolve it. You can be watching sport, but you're thinking and you're resolving. Come on. But that's not what God has called us to. God has called us to take up spiritual weapons. Come on, what are some of the spiritual weapons? Prayer. The Word of God. Amen. Come on. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We can praise. Come on, we can declare things in faith. Love is a spiritual weapon. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says. Paul speaking to this, he says, for the weapons of our warfare, okay, the word warfare, for those of you who are interested, is the Greek word campaign. So we're not talking about a skirmish, we're talking about a campaign to take territory. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is, they are not natural, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. They're not carnal, but they are mighty in God. The Word of God. Come on, prayer, declaration, taking authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, about 2 weeks ago, and again, I need to qualify, I'm just Jesus-centric, like everything, you know, but there is strategies that the enemy puts in play. Now, I'm not given to a lot of, like, crazy dreams. You know, my old Assemblies of God pastor, when I was a teenager, you said this to me once. He goes, Brad, rubbish in, rubbish out. So you watch that stuff. Well, guess what's going to happen? So I have a dream of this dog. I love dogs, by the way. Dogs are cool. I watch dog movies. And this dog is coming after me, right? And it's coming so fast. It was swift. It wasn't natural. It was running at a speed that, well, not greyhounds can run at. It was intense. And in this dream, this dog comes right up to my head and it tries to actually bite my head. And the dream was so kind of real that in the middle of the night, I went like this, bam. And I reckon I missed Allison by about that much. Oh, Lord, help me. That would not have been a good night. So, oh, I would have been in big trouble. And I knew straight away that something demonic was going on. I didn't know what, but I'm not there to, now let's name the demon, the spirit of dog. Come on, church, you know. I'm just there to now take authority in Jesus' name, to pray, to declare, and to declare the protection of God, because I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was going on. But what I could do was pick up my spiritual weapons for what was happening. Well, 2 days later, our church gets contacted by a program, a television program, that let's just say they are not very favorable towards Christianity. They don't quote Psalm 23. And in fact, over the years, they have been really trying to hurt the good standing of Christianity in our nation, in our Judeo-Christian foundations. And they contacted and they wanted some information. Now, you know, our team, Pastor Allison, Pastor Christy, myself, and we have an external media liaison person, because it does come in quite regularly at our church. It's died off a lot, which is great, praise God, but it does come. And I just knew that that dream that I had was a warning from God, because the enemy was trying to come against us to try and undermine and hurt, because the Bible says a good reputation is rather to be chosen than great riches. And our church name has a good reputation to the glory of God. And so the Lord showed me in advance this attack, and then there was this big report that went out, and our church name was not mentioned once. Under the protection of Almighty God. Why? Because you've got to learn to pick up your spiritual weapons. So Jehoshaphat proclaims prayer, and he calls the people to prayer and to fasting. And these demonic, this alliance, this force that came against the people of God, as they're praying, a man by the name of Jehaziel, bless his heart, wonderful name, he starts prophesying. And he prophesies God's deliverance, God's blessing. And let's look at what he says. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, and he said, listen all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Church, these things are written for our learning. Come on. And you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid, amen, nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus today. The battle is not yours, but God's. But watch where it started. They prayed. They went to the Lord. They sought the face of God. They didn't think, okay, now let's set up our systems and our strategies to deal with this great multitude. They went to the Lord, and the Lord anointed a prophet to bring a word. And thank God for the Jehaziels in our lives, who point us towards the things of God when the triple threat comes. They point us to Jesus. Come on, amen. And I thank God for the Jehaziels in my life. People like Pastor Alan Davies, people like Pastor David Storer, people like Pastor Matt Hines, who point me towards the Lord when a triple threat comes and say, do not be afraid. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Now look at what King Jehoshaphat does. Are you ready, church? Come on, church. Are you ready this morning? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 says, after consulting the people, talking to the people, look at what he does. The king appointed singers, woo, all the singers this morning, give it up to Jesus today. All the wannabe singers, say amen. It's beautiful unto the Lord. Come on, you can laugh. There you go. It's okay. I know I'm preaching a strong word, but it's all good. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, amen, come on all the worshipers, and praising him for his holy splendor. They didn't even consider the opposing force. They just praised the Lord. It says, he's holy, he's awesome, he's magnificent. Now, interesting, church. Oh, interesting that they praised what his holy splendor. The word holy, when we think of the word holy, we interpret it as like, you know, the person who, keep the verse up if we can, we interpret it as the person who didn't step into sin. But holiness is, the proper understanding of the word holy is if you put the word like WH, holy as in whole. God is holy. He doesn't need something external to fix something that's missing in his life. He is holy. So they're praising the whole, he's whole, everything we need. That's what they're saying. Everything we need is found in you, right? Come on, church, this is good preaching this morning. Sing of his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Oh, this is a good song. Give thanks to the Lord. Amen. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Who knows this song? Give thanks to the whole. Come on, you can sing with me. Give thanks because Jesus Christ. Come on, church, sing now. His son. And now. And now. There you go. That's what they were just singing. Glory unto Jesus. Now, stay with me. This is an odd troop configuration. It's like you having a fight. Someone's like coming to, you know, kaboom. Pastor Karen, can you stand in front and just sing a song to the person? Karen like rushes down to the coffee shop and starts singing Great Defender. It's odd. You don't do that in the natural. What was the king thinking? Now stay with me now, church. Let's look again at Matthew 21, verse 16. We read it at the start. It says, and said to him, that is the scribes, the religious leaders, they said, do you hear what these are saying, speaking about the children? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. So Jesus is taking what is seen to be the most weak children, vulnerable. And he says, in the weak, in the vulnerable, the Lord has perfected what? Come on, he's perfected what? Praise. Okay. So those that seem to be strong, they had the knowledge, the memorization of the entire first five books of the, they knew it. But Jesus said, in the weak, in the most vulnerable, he's perfected praise. In fact, he's quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. Look at what Psalm 8 verse 2 says. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Craig, if you could come, please. You have, look at what it says in Psalm 8 verse 2. You have, it says it differently, ordained, what does it say? Strength. Jesus says, praise. But in Psalm 8 verse 2, it says strength. And there's a reason why. Now, the root word can be praise or it can be strength, because it brings us to this. And that is number three, the weapon of the weak is praise. Come on. The weapon of the weak is praise. Come on. The weapon of the weak is praise. And to worship Christ is strength. The weapon of the weak is praise. And to worship Christ is strength. Come on, church. This is the weapon. Gratitude is a weapon of warfare. Of warfare. Of warfare. And look at what happens. You got to watch what happens. Karen's singing. The worshipers are leading us. Remembering, I've taught you this in the past. When Joshua and the children of Israel, come on, church, stay with me. When Joshua and the children of Israel conquered the promised land, each tribe was strategically given a piece of land. Where was Judah placed? Judah was placed in the east. Living in the east, what do we see every single morning? We see the sunrise, because praise always ushers in a new day. It ushers in a new day, new anointing. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Every morning, every morning. We praise and we worship. We praise and we worship. Watch what happens. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22 says, now when they, come on, musos and singers, you can come. Now when they began to sing, come on, all the singers, and to praise. Not if, when. They did it. They just started singing a song. The Lord, watch what the Lord does. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moabite, and Mount Seir, who had come against praise, come against Judah. And they were defeated. God caused them to self-destruct. Because why? Gratitude turns your battle into God's battle. Come on, gratitude turns your battle into God's battle. You might be a teenager today. You can be grateful. You're a young adult. You can be grateful. Come on, mums and dads. Come on, adults. You can be grateful, because every time we're grateful, it becomes God's battle. It says, I'm taking this on. Don't touch my children. Amen. And the enemy was still scattered, silenced, destroyed as the Lord's name was lifted up. Now watch this. Write this down. You can guard yourself with gratitude. That's a good word. You can guard yourself with gratitude. As we worship, we guard ourselves with gratitude. So good. What a beautiful statement right there. Psalm 32 verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance. As we just worship. Come on, we're going to stand up if we can, please. As we just worship and lift up the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about two things this week when I was writing the message. Because in a moment, we're gonna open up our altars for the worshipers just to come and worship Him. I'm not talking about those who are actively on a roster in the creative department of Horizon Church. We're talking about the worshipers. the ordinary mums and dads, the ordinary teenage. Oh, now I feel an anointing. The ordinary young adults who just say, I love to worship and lift up the name of Jesus. So the Lord told me about two things. He said, for some of you this morning, you've got a troubled child. The key to it is yes, I believe in good process, and I think that's beautiful, but there's something even greater. I saw a picture of your child asleep in bed, and you went in there, and all you did was worship. You just worshiped. You just worshiped. You declared him to be a holy God, an awesome God. And the Lord said, this is not your battle. This is my battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. I also saw a picture of a marriage where, you know, a couple of speed bumps and a couple of potholes and roundabouts. And I saw you holding a picture. And as you held that picture, not that there's power in the picture, don't get me wrong, right? Our eyes on Jesus. But just as you held that picture of husband and wife, you just held it and you just worshiped the Lord. Said, thank you, Jesus. You are so good. You are so magnificent. You are so awesome. You are so wonderful. Because church, today the devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. As we lift up his magnificent and mighty and awesome name, we worship.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.